special privilege for me to be here as well, to return back home after all these years. I've never lost my feeling of connection and affection for Yeshiva Chalvim, which I used to describe during the time that I was learning here as Shangri-La, which is the term that is utilized in literature for an environment which is completely utopian in nature, where basically I felt who could ask for anything more than what is provided at Shalavim, where you have all of your needs provided for in a beautiful setting, physically and spiritually beautiful environment, with a wonderful Rashi Yeshiva, Ramim, a wonderful Hanhala that cares deeply about every single Talmud, and I was really just able to sit and learn in an undisturbed and unfettered fashion, to take advantage of these opportunities in life, as many of you are. Whether you're Shana Aleph, Shana Beis, you're taking an additional year advantage. It's really a tremendous learning environment. You have to sit and learn when you have the opportunity not to have any distractions. In my day, not only were there no distractions in terms of having to worry about other obligations or responsibilities in life, whether familial or otherwise, but it was also an environment where we didn't have the same temptations that you have nowadays with text messaging and cell phones, where basically you called your parents in America, maybe once every 5 months or so, just to make sure everybody was still there. But other than that, you really didn't even talk on the phone to anybody. It was just basically interaction with the other Talmidim and with your Sfarim and with your Rebbeim. So to the degree that type of learning environment can be recaptured even in modern technological times, it's something which I strongly encourage, with obviously the appropriate contact that's warranted by keep it out of aim obligations, that goes without saying, but certainly one should take advantage of the opportunity to learn without distractions. So the topic that I wanted to speak to you briefly about today is one that I assume that you're already learning about in yeshiva, and that you've probably heard shiurim on anyway. So if I'm repeating what you've already learned, then it'll be a good chazara, and if there's anything different, so you'll have a context for it, which is the sugya of Eidei Mesira Karti. My own personal experience basically with the sugya is not only in terms of learning in the text of the Gemara, but for 10 years before I took over as the menahel of the dean of Yeshiva Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, I worked as the menahel, the director of the Beth Din of America, which is the largest rabbinical court in the United States, perhaps the largest rabbinical court outside of Eretz Yisrael, where we not only learned about Gittin, but we actually took care of over 300 Gittin a year. So we got to practice Eidei Mesira Karti in the real world, which is, of course, that every single get, once it's authorized by the husband and it's written and signed by the Eidei Chasima, the sine qua non of kosher get is that it has to be delivered by the husband to the wife in front of Eidei Mesira, in front of two Eidim who witnessed the delivery of the get from the husband into the wife's hands. So this issue of Eidei Mesira Karti is actually such a fundamental issue in Maseches Gittin that it is pretty much the only concept which is assumed by the Gemara as being known to everyone who's picking up the Masechta for the first time. It's almost as if there's a presumption that one has run through at least the Mishnayos Gittin or some of the concepts of Gittin before you've opened the first daf of the Gemara, because in daf of Gimel Amid Beis, the Gemara is trying to figure out who the Mishnah is going according to, when the Mishnah indicates that there's an obligation of saying both the Fani Nechta and Fani Nachtam, according to the Shita Rabba, who says that the reason why a shliach who brings again Medina Siyam Laaretz Yisrael says Refani Nechta Refani Nechtam is because of Vishifisha Emekin Lishma, because we want to make sure everything was done Lishma properly. So Refani Nechta is then indicative of Refani Nechta Lishma, and Refani Nechtam is indicative of Refani Nechtam Lishma in one fashion or another. So the Gemara asks, who is this going like? Who would be the Tana who would require both kesiva lishma and chasima lishma. So the Gemara says, well, it can't be going like Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir is of the opinion, would be of the opinion, presumably, that the what needs to be lishma, whereas the essence of the get would be the chasima, because you need chasima by kesiva lo by. And then the Gemara goes on to say, well, and if it's going like Rabbi Elazar, so Rabbi Elazar would be of the opinion that Kasiba Bai and Chasima Lo Bai, Rabbi Elazar would be of the opinion that you would only need Kasiba Lishma, but not necessarily Chasima Lishma. So the Gemara doesn't tell you what the context is necessarily of the Shita of Rabbi Elazar. It just says, Rabbi Elazar, Kasiba Bai, Chasima Lo Bai. So the Gemara's implicit assumption is that everybody who's learning the sugya is already familiar on some level with the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar regarding Eidei Chasima Karti v'Eidei Chasima Karti. That Rabbi Meir, who holds Eidei Chasima Karti, interprets the pasuk in the Torah that says the kasuv lo sefer krisus, the husband has the right of sefer krisus, as meaning that the ikar of the writing of the get is not the kesiva seget, but rather the chasima seget. Since the ikar is the chasima again, because he holds Eidei Chasima Karti, it's the Eidei Chasima who really creates the chepsa of the get. Therefore, when the Torah says v'kasav, it's really going v'chasam, and since we derive lishma from v'kasav law implies lishma, v'kasav law lishma, the get has to be written lishma specifically for the purpose of the wife. We hold that it means that there are three elements of lishma, right? It has to be written specifically for the husband, specifically for the wife, specifically for the purpose of divorce. So since Rabbi Meir holds that the bechasav is essentially bechasam, that it's the chasima that is the ikar, so therefore it would be the bechasav la lishma must mean, according to Rabbi Meir, bechasam la lishma, that the chasima would have to be lishma, but not necessarily the chasim lishma. And according to Rabbi Elazar, who is of the opinion that Eidei Mesira Karti, Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion that chasima is not of great moment or significance to Rabbi Elazar, but rather it is the delivery of the get in front of the Eidim that is a great moment. So he has no reason to interpret the words of the pasuk because of law in any other way than according to Pashup Shad and because of means what? It means right. That the get has to be written the Shema. So therefore Rabbi Elazar will be able to understand the Mikra Kipshuto, the pasuk, the word and its very simple form of Vikasav, and would therefore be of the opinion that when we learn because of law lishma, it means that the actual tzima has to be lishma, but not necessarily the chasima lishma. And this is all predicated upon whether you're of the opinion, like Rabbi Elazar, the Eidim Mesira Karti, that it's the Eidim witnesses who witness the delivery of the get to effectuate the get, or whether you're of the opinion of Rabbi Meir, that Eidim Chasima Karti, that it is the witnesses who sign the get, who basically are the main instruments towards the validity of the get, although obviously even Rabbi Meir would agree that at the very least the husband has to then take the get and deliver the get into his wife's hands, because that's also Xeris Hakasu, since the Torah says Vidnasan Biyada, but he's not of the opinion that the Eidei Mesira are the ones who are the primary effectors of the validity of the get. So this is our introduction to the world of Eidei Mesira Karti and Eidei Chasima Karti. So it's a nice introduction, but it would follow from this Gemara that the Mishnah is not going according to either Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, well, it could be it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda seems to hold that you have both the Ksiva, the writing of the get, has to be the Shema, and the Chasima, the signing of the get, has to be the Shema. But the Gemara then says, well, since we know that the Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar Begitin, that we paskin like Rabbi Elazar when it comes to Gittin, so therefore we're going to try to figure out how we can explain the Mishnah even according to Rabbi Elazar. Because the basic principle is the Kaimalan Halachic Rabbi Elazar Begitin, that's the Gemara and Dav Dalid Amud Aleph, and that's the reason why we explain the Mishnah even according to work according to Rabbi Elazar. So how then does the Mishnah work according to Rabbi Elazar? So the way that the Mishnah works according to Rabbi Elazar is that we understand why Rabbi Elazar requires Kesiva Lishma, because he holds the Kesiva law is going on the Kesiva. He doesn't hold that there is any special purpose to the Chasima, but why then, according to Rabbi Elazar, do you require Chasima Lishma? So says Rabbi Abba, Adab Dalinam and Aleph, Modeh Rabbi Elazar, the Mizuyach Mitaycho Shehu Pasol.
Rabbi Elazar agrees that if I have a get which is mizuyach mitaychal, that would be possible. What does that mean? Meaning that really, according to Rabbi Elazar, you don't need to have witnesses sign the get at all. But in the event that witnesses did in fact sign the get, Rabbi Elazar would be of the opinion that it would have to be signed lishma, that the get would have to be signed lishma for the purpose of the woman, for the purpose of divorce, and otherwise it would be considered as if there was a fatal flaw in the get document by virtue of it having a psul, something which is intrinsically invalid in the get, and therefore, although you would have been okay had you not had the signatures at all, but if you have the signatures and they are signed shelo lishma, not for the purpose of the get to this woman, then that would be considered to be possible according to Rabbi Elazar, and that explains why even the chasima, assuming you have a chasima, has to be lishma according to Rabbi Elazar. Now, this concept of Moide Rabbi Elazar and Mizuyach Mitoichol Shehu Pasol raises the following question. So according to Rabbi Elazar then, is it merely optional to have chasimos in a get, or is it recommended to have chasimos in a get? So later on, we have the mission that says, Eidim chasimos in a get, and tikkun olam. And Gamliel says that the reason why Eidim sign on the get is because of tikkun olam. So what does tikkun olam mean, according to Rabbi Elazar? Is this something which makes it into a drabbanon? D'oraisa, you don't need for the witnesses to sign the get, but drabbanon, you do need it, or is it something else? So if you look at the Gemara on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara seems to indicate that it's not even a Darabbanan. Why is that? Because the Gemara suggests, well, maybe when we say that the mission, when we are trying to figure out if the mission is going like Rabbi Elazar, so the Gemara suggests, well, maybe Rabbi Elazar doesn't require the get to be signed by witnesses on a D'oraisa level, but maybe he does require it on a D'rabbanan level, and that's why the Mishnah would say that you have to say before Neftan Lishma. Since Rakibo Boy, Rabbi Elazar, Chasim Lishma Midoraisa, Midrabbanan Boy. Maybe he requires it Midrabbanan. So then, the Gemara contradicts that by saying, but we have the question about Shlosha Gittin Psulin. We have the case of three, that there are three types of Gittin, which are Psulin, okay, Durabbanon, and they're only possible on a Durabbanon level. The Haraya, that if such a get was done, then the woman, B'dievin, would be, then a child would be born. Would not be a mamzer, so we see it's not possible on a d'oraisa level, because then a child that would be born subsequent to the get would be a mamzer, and here we say the child is not a mamzer. And one of the types of gittin that are mentioned is a get that does not have eidim. And Rabbi Elazar comes along, and Rabbi Elazar says, nah, even apabli shenel av eidim, el shenasmo fin eidim kosher. Even though it doesn't have eidim, as long as the way eidim is seen, as long as the get was given in front of eidim, it's kosher. But Rabbi Elazar is arguing on cases that the Yevon are okay anyway, showing that they're only a Durabbanan. So Rabbi Elazar, therefore, is coming along to say, says Tosfos, Diba Maska Rabbi Elazar, and Dav Gimel on the base. So we see from here that Rabbi Elazar doesn't even require a day chasima on a Durabbanan level. Because otherwise, Rabbi Elazar wouldn't argue with three cases which are clearly only on a Durabbanan level. And Rabbi Elazar says that even on a Durabbanan level, where the case scenario there, why Rabbi Meir would be machshir, is because the case which doesn't have eidim, why would that be kosher b'dievet, according to Rabbi Meir, since eidim chasim makarti, is talking about when you have something which, according to Rabbi Meir, would be as good as a chasim, and that's the ksav yado of the Baal. The Baal wrote to get himself. If it was a ksav sofer, so then Rabbi Meir would say that it would be possible even b'dievet, it should be possible in the Torah, according to Rabbi Elazar, according to Rabbi Meir. But we see from here that even on a rabbanan level, Rabbi Elazar does not require eidim chasim. In fact, if you look in the Beis Yosef in Siman Kuflam Gimel in the Shulchan Aruch says quite explicitly that according to the Shita of Rabbi Elazar, Eidei Chasima are not even required lechatchila, and the idea that we say that the Eidim sign on the get Beit Tikkun Olam is just basically what we would describe as an Eitza Tova. What does it mean, an Eitza Tova? What's an Eitza Tova? An Eitza Tova basically means it's a good idea. Why is it a good idea? Because in the event that the Eidim Mesiva would disappear, either they would die, or they would go off on Medina Sayyam, so we wouldn't be able to find them. So then the only way in which we would be able to be makshir the get would be through the Eidei Chasima. So that's why, according to Rabbi Elazar, it's a good idea to have the Eidei Chasima. What do you mean? That we'll be able to be makshir the get based on the Eidei Chasima according to Rabbi Elazar. How are you makshir the get through the Eidei Mesira through the Eidei Chasima according to Rabbi Elazar? So Tosa says in Dabdalan Amud Aleph that what this means is that if you have Eidei Chasima who sign the get, so Eidei Chasima basically are representatives of the notion that whenever you have Eidim that are Chasumim al Ashtar, the Nasik Mishinekar Eidusim Bebezdin, that's the Din of Reish Lakish, it's considered as if they have been fully investigated and fully evaluated and that everything that is signed is true. So part of what a get is made is that everything must have been done properly, so therefore, says Tosos, the assumption is Hakol Be'ech Naseh, that even though I don't have Eidei Mesira Bifanenu, even though we do not have the Eidei Mesira to examine and interrogate as to whether in fact there were Eidei Mesira, if I have Eidei Chasima signed on the get, then the assumption is that they are testifying that everything was done properly, and I can assume that the get was given over in front of Eidei Mesira. That is the Sheet of Tosfos. I can assume that the get was given over in front of Eidei Mesira once I have Eidei Chasima, but the Tikkun HaOlam of having Eidei Chasima does not remove the obligation, according to Rabbi Elazar, who says Eidei Mesira Karpin, to have Eidei Mesira. Even if you have Eidei Chasima, you still need Eidei Mesira. Ah, so what have you gained from having Eidei Chasima, according to Rabbi Elazar? What you gained is that if there are Eidei Chasima on the get, then I can assume that Hakol Be'ech Shenaseh, that everything was done properly. And this would be the advantage of Eidei Chasima. So let's say then that I have the Eidei Mesira in front of me, and the Eidei Mesira are able to testify, yes, the get was given in front of us. So I don't need the Eidei Chasima anymore. So why then does Rabbi Abba say the Moed of Rabbi Elazar Mizuyif Mitoicho? Why then, according to Rabbi Elazar, is there a problem if the Eidei Chasima did not sign the get l'shma according to Rabbi Elazar? So Tosfos asked this question on Da'am and Alf and Dibam Maski Moed of Rabbi Elazar Mizuyif Mitoicho, and Tosfos makes a very salient point, which is that if the Eidei Chasima, according to Rabbi Elazar, at the end of the day, don't really effectuate the get, because ultimately it's the Eidei Mesira that are doing it, and the only advantage of the Eidei Chasima is that the Eidei Mesira aren't around, so the Eidei Chasima, so I have Eidei Chasima, so I can assume Hakol Be'ech Shenaseh, and that the get was given over in front of Eidei Mesira. So then in such a case, what am I worried about with respect to the Eidei Chasima? If I would say the Eidei Chasima could accomplish the get by themselves, so then I might be worried that if I have that if they that I would rely upon their chasimas alone and say that these chasimas, even though they're invalid because they were not lishma, are going to effectuate the get. But I'm not in fact relying on the Eidei Chasima alone. I'm relying on the Eidei Mesira. Even when I have Eidei Chasima, according to Rabbi Elazar, I'm relying on the Eidei Chasima. So therefore, what's the problem, says Tosfos, with the fact that they happen to sign shelo lishma? So answers Tosfos. Tosfos gives a very difficult answer that, well, still we should make a gzeira chasima to ksiva. That since Rabbi Elazar agrees that the ksiva, the writing of the get, is not allowed to be the shema, so I have to be worried that if I allowed a situation to pass where the chasimas of the Eidim, where the Eidim signed shalom the shema, so then I have to be worried that the ksiva won't be done the shema either, and that's the reason why I have to pasul the get. But that's very difficult within this understanding of Rabbi Elazar. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, you have Rabbeinu Tam, who says that the requirement for Eidei Mesira is such a strong requirement that even Rabbi Meir requires Eidei Mesira. So what then is the Shita of Rabbi Meir according to Rabbeinu Tam? The Shita of Rabbi Meir according to Rabbeinu Tam is that basically, Eidei Chasima Karti, that I need both Eidei Mesira and I need Eidei Chasima. According to Rabbi Meir, I need Eidei Chasima because Eidei Chasima constitute the essence of the get. The cost of law is going on the Chasima, and therefore I need Eidei Chasima. If I don't have Eidei Chasima, I don't have a valid get, according to Rabbi Meir. But I need made the Mesiva for a separate reason. What's the separate reason according to Rabbeinu Tam? It's a Dovah Sheva Erva. The Gemara says, right? Again, it's given over. It's a Dovah Sheva Erva. I am releasing a woman who is an Eish Yedish, and I am now freeing her to the world. So whenever I have a consummation of a Dovah Sheva Erva, that requires the witnessing of two witnesses with respect to the actual Maiseh that completes the transaction. Here, the transaction is completed when the husband takes the get and he hands it into his wife's hands. So even Rabbi Meir would agree, says Rabbeinu Tam Davdal, I'm an Al Tiva Mashko de Kaimalan. Even Rabbeinu Tam, even Rabbi Meir would agree that you require Eide Mesiva in addition to the Eide Chasima. So we have what? We have, so far, Shitas HaTosfos within Rabbi Elazar. That says what? That according to Rabbi Elazar, you require Eide Mesiva no matter what. And even when you have Eide Chasima, that's only to reassure me that even if the Eide Mesiva aren't around, once I see the Eide Chasima, I can say, Akobe Akshadase, everything was done properly, so I know that there were Eide Mesiva, but if Eide Mesiva are a sine qua non, according to Rabbi Elazar, even though according to Rabbi Elazar, I don't need Eide Chasima at all. Okay? That's the shita number one. Then I have Rabbeinu Tam within Rabbi Meir who says that not only are Eide Mesiva required according to Rabbi Elazar, but even according to Rabbi Meir who says I absolutely need Eide Chasima, I need Eide Mesiva as well. So it comes out then, you have Rabbi Elazar according to Tosfos who says, I need Eide Mesiva, I don't necessarily need Eide Chasima. And I have the Shita of Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbeinu Tam, who says, I need Eide Mesiva, I need Eide Chasima, and I also need Eide Mesiva. Comes along the Rif with a third Shita within Rabbi Elazar. The Rif says, within Rabbi Elazar, the Rif brings a Raya from a Gemara later on in Perek HaMigaresh, that Rabbi Elazar's shita must be that when he says Eide Mesiva Karti, what he really means is that you can have either Eide Mesiva or you can have Eide Chasima. That when the Gemara says that when the Mishnah says that the Eide Chasima, the Eide Mechosman Alagev Neitikin Ailam, that means that if I only have the Chasima Eide and I don't have Eide Mesiva at all, nonetheless, the get is going to be a kosher get. Why is it going to be a kosher get? Because Eide Mesiva Karti. Rabbi Elazar is saying Eide Chasima are perfectly fine. Eide Chasima will work. But if you have Eide Mesiva, so that's better yet. Because says the Rif. The Rif says that Ikar Agerishin is through the Eide Mesiva, according to Rabbi Elazar. That's the idea of Eide Mesiva Karti, that this is the Ikar Agerishin, this is the essence. But in Akinami, if I only have Eide Chasima, so Eide Chasima would be good enough as well, according to the Rif. Well, if I hold like the Rif, then Eide Chasima would be good as well. So then, at the very least, I understand why Moda Rabbi Elazar Mizuyef Mitoicho. Because why is it that Rabbi Elazar agrees with Mizuyef Mitoicho? Rabbi Elazar would agree with Mizuyef Mitoicho that if a get was signed by Edom Shalol Lishma, that should be no good. You know why? Because you have the right to rely upon those Edom alone. You won't need Eide Mesiva in such a case, according to the Rif. And therefore, if you're going to rely on these Edom alone, and these are going to be the real Edom of the get, so then the get is there's a requirement that the get be Lishma. And if I don't have Eide Mesiva, I only have Eide Chasima. So I understand why Rabbi Elazar Mizuyef Mitoicho, why Rabbi Elazar would agree that is no good. So that would be a support for the Shita of the Rif. However, asks the Rabbeinu Ephraim, one of the Goyim, on the Shita of the Rif, that it doesn't fit within Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar says very clearly, Eide Mesiva Karti. According to the Rif, what should Rabbi Elazar have said rather than Eide Mesiva Karti? He should have said, Eide Mesiva Karti. He should have said that even Eide Mesiva Karti, not only are Eide Chasima good enough, but Eide Mesiva are good enough as well. So to this, there are a couple of possible answers, though. One is the answer given by the Ramban. The Ramban says, you know why
Rabbi Elazar couldn't say, Af Ede Mesir Karti. I gave away the answer a little earlier when I was giving the when I was explaining the Shita of Rabbi Meir according to Rabbi Nadav. Because Af could have a different connotation, namely, that you need both. But Rabbi Elazar is not saying that you need both. Rabbi Elazar would be saying that you need one or the other. That basically, either you need Ede Mesir, or you need Ede Chasima. And there's another explanation as well, which is provided by the Ramban, which is that the Rif says a very interesting lashon. When the Rif says that according to Rabbi Elazar, even Eidei Chasima would be good enough, and not Eidei, without Eidei Mesira, the Rif makes a special point of saying that Iker HaGerushin, that the Eidei Mesira represents the Iker of the Gerushin. I'll give you the exact lashon of the Rif. The Rif says that... אבל לכתחילה בין עדי מסירה והן העיקר. The Ede Mesira are considered to be the Ikar. So why are they? So if they are the Ikar, so I would have another reason why I would understand that I could not say Af Ede Mesira Karti, because it's not equivalent to the Ede Chasima. Ede Chasima could be relied upon, but Ede Chasima cannot are only a secondarily good approach after having Ede Mesira. If you say Af, then you're making the two of them equivalent. You're making it sound that Ede Chasima are just as good as Ede Mesira. In fact, Ede Mesira are better than Eidei Chasima. Why are Eidei Mesira better than Eidei Chasima? So the Ramban explains that there's a tremendous advantage to having the Eidei Mesira, because if I am going to rely on the Eidei Chasima, so then a woman is going to have to watch her get at all times in order to make sure that she will be able to display the get with the Eidei, so that we can be Mekayim the Chasimas of the Eidim and show that they are in fact good Chasimas. Well, if she has the Eidim Mesira, so once the Eidim Mesira testify that she received the get, she doesn't have to worry about holding on to her get or preserving her get anymore. It's all testified, it's all taken care of. She doesn't have to worry about preserving the actual get itself. That's one possible explanation as to what the Rif might have in mind when the Rif says that the Eidim Mesira are the Ikar, that the Eidei Mesira are the essence of the get. The kasha that's asked against the Rif, there are a number of kashas. You look in the Rosh. The Rosh has a number of kashas from different gemaras against the shita of the Rif, who understands Eidei Mesira Karti as meaning either Eidei Chasima are good enough or Eidei Mesira are good enough. In fact, if you look at Rashi, on Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis, Rashi clearly articulates, in Dibur HaMaskil Rabbi Elazar, Rashi clearly articulates the notion that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir are completely opposite planes, meaning that according to Rabbi Meir, Eidei Chasima are good enough and you don't need Eidei Mesira against Rabbeinu Tam, and that according to Rabbi Elazar, Eidei Mesira are always needed and Eidei Chasima would never be sufficient against the Shita of the Rif. So one of the kashas that's asked on the Rif, one of the killer kashas against the Rif, is from the Gemara, from the Mishnah, also in Perek HaMegoresh on Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis. With respect to Shnayim Sheshalchu Shnei Gittin Shavin, if I have two people who send two identical Gittin, two husbands send two identical Gittin, the names of the husbands were the same, the names of the wives were the same, and then you know what happened to the two Gittin? They got mixed up. They got mixed up, so we don't know which get to give to which wife. So says the Mishnah, I have an easy solution for you. Now you say, Shneim Lazu. Give both Gittin to both wives. This way we can be assured, right, that each husband gives both Gittin to both wives. This way we can be assured that each wife received the gift that was intended for her from her husband. So therefore, that's an easy solution. So says the Gemara, this clearly cannot be going like Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion Eidei Mesira Karti, and therefore there's an essential need for the Eidei Mesira to know that that the right get is going into the wife's hands. When they witness the get that is specifically intended for that wife, they have to know which get is intended for that wife, because they are the Eidim that are essentially verifying the delivery of the get, so they have to have exact awareness of what is going on when the get is given over into the wife's hands. So asks the
asks the Rosh, how can it be that we would paskin according, how can it be that the Gemara says it can't be going according to Rabbi Elazar? According to the Rif, that we can rely on the Eidei Chasima, even according to Rabbi Elazar, so we have a very simple solution. Just like the Gemara assumes that this Mishnah works according to Rabbi Meir, says Eidei Chasima Karati, because at least the witnesses who signed the get knew which get they were signing. So Rabbi Elazar also can say that although I don't have proper Eidei Mesira in this case because they don't know which is the correct get, nonetheless, I can rely on the Eidei Chasima, just like Rabbi Meir. So the fact that Gemara says that according to Rabbi Elazar it's not going to work shows that he is of the opinion that you cannot rely on the Chasima, and therefore the get should not be valid. And therefore the get should work, even according to Rabbi Elazar, because I should be able to rely on the Eidei Chasima. So the Ran explains that all of this is based on a fundamental misunderstanding of the Rif. Says the Ran, you know why the Rif doesn't say I made the Mesira Karti within Rabbi Elazar? You know why the Rif says that Iker Eidei, that the Iker are the Eidei Mesira? Because even when the Rif says that you don't need extra Eidei Mesira, and you can rely exclusively upon the Eidei Chasima, the Rif is not discounting Eidei Mesira. What the Rif is saying is that you always need Eidei Mesira, it's just that the Eidei Chasima also serve as the Eidei Mesira. How can it be that the Eidei Chasima serve as the Eidei Mesira? So it says the Ran that it is that once the Eidim are signed on the get, and I have the tziruf of the fact that the get is now in the wife's hands, so that combination of the Eidim being signed on the get and the get being so in the wife's hands creates the yediyah, the clear knowledge, the clear knowledge that the husband must have given the get over to the wife, and therefore it is considered as if they themselves are being made on the Mesira. But ultimately we're not relying on the Chasima per se, we're relying on the Mesira, but it's just as if the Eidei Chasima are being made on the Mesira. How do you understand that? So either you understand that as a form of Anan Sadi, as the Avnei Miluim says in the Tzos, Avnei Miluim, same person, the Avnei Miluim says in Simen Lamed Aleph, Eben Evin Ezer, that this sort of provides us with a basis for the notion that when it comes to the contracting of the Dovash Be'erva, of Kiddushin or Gittin, you don't need actual sight in order for Eidus to be good. And he explains this, he argues with a Ma'arit, who's of the opinion that if Eidim, for example, see a Maisa Kiddushin, when a man gives a ring to a wife, to his wife, and she's bedecked with a covering of her entire head, so that you can't make out what she looks like, and the Eidim don't see her at the time that she receives the ring. So even though they see her afterwards, but she takes off the veil, and say, oh, that's what she looks like, and they see her afterwards, so says the Ma'arit, I can't rely upon that because they didn't see the woman of Shasta Kiddushin. So says the Avnei Miluim that we see from this Ran that when it comes to a Maiseh, it's a Maiseh get that he's talking about, Maiseh Kiddushin, that in order for the Eidus to be come, they don't have to have an exact Riyah. As long as they're there and they know that the Maiseh occurred because they saw that the ring was given over to the woman with the heavy veil over her face, and they see afterwards too that this was in fact the woman, so as long as they have a clear Yediyah and they saw the giving of the ring, so even though they weren't makir this particular woman, that doesn't matter because they're able to establish this through a proper Yediyah. So too, this is the explanation of the Ran, that the Ran says, I can rely on the Anan Sadi, that once the witnesses sign the get, so then there is an Anan Sadi that the witnesses kind of know that together with their signing of the get, what we know is that the witnesses, we all know from the fact that it's an Anan Sadi, we all know from the fact that the witnesses signed the get and the woman is now holding the get. So we have a complete base of knowledge from which to form that there is an Eidus that we are able to provide that the get was given over to the woman. That's one way of understanding the Ran. The alternative way of understanding the Ran is spelled out Achilles Yaakov, the stifle zone, gives another explanation that we don't have to understand this purely as purely an uninsati, but we can say that the Edom themselves included within any testimony of a shtar, as we mentioned earlier, within Reish Lakish, there's not the Kimishinekra, Yusuf Rebethan, so included within any time the Edom sign a shtar is that they are made that something, you know, let's say they sign a shtar havah, they might sign a shtar havah before the money is actually given over from the Mavah to Lovah, but it's understood that they're being made on the entire Maaseh, despite the fact that the Maaseh didn't occur yet, but their very signature is part and parcel of an Eidus on whatever subsequent Maaseh need to be done as it's recorded in the Shtar. As long as it's the Get, it's recorded in the Shtar, and now I have the Tfisas Haisha of the Get, the Tfisas Baal Shtar, the Tfisas, the woman's holding on to the Get, so therefore it's considered as if the Eidim themselves have been made on the on everything that's written in the Get, including the actual performance of the get, including the actual delivery of the get by the husband into the wife's hands. Now, if you look at Rashi, Rashi has in three places different explanations of the notion of Ma'ida Rabbi Elazar and Mizuyah Mitoyba. We have the Gemara on Daf Yud Amud Beis talks about what if I have a get that has non-Jews signed on the get. So non-Jews are not considered to be kosher witnesses for a get. They have to be B'nai Bris. They have to be within the Parsha. They have to be within the Parsha get to the Kiddushin. So they can't sign on a get. So says Rabbi Shimon that if the chasimas are Ovdei Kochavim, that the get is kosher. So Gemara says, how can the get be kosher according to Rabbi Shimon? So Gemara says, no problem, Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar is, and Rabbi Elazar says, why? That I don't need the chasimas altogether, so who cares if the chasimas was signed by non-Jews? So says the Gemara, what do you mean who cares? We just had a principle that we mentioned earlier, the Moedah Rabbi Elazar Mizuyah Mitaycho. The Rabbi Elazar is Moedah, if it's Mizuyah Mitaycho, if there's an intrinsic tool that is contained within the Chasimus, like for example, if they sign Shlo Lishma. So if they sign Shlo Lishma, it's no good. So certainly it should be no good if the witnesses were not kosher witnesses altogether. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon would say that if we're talking about a case of B'Shemus Mufakim. We're talking about where there was so clearly names, it was Christopher Nicholas or I don't know, some name that was so clearly a name that was that of a non-Jewish person. Nowadays, every single name could be either Jewish or non-Jewish. I know we have Shemus Mufakim of non-Jews anymore. You never know anymore. But it's a Shemus Mufakim. It was clearly a name that could not be a Jewish person, and therefore nobody is going to come and to rely upon it. So Rashi, when dealing with this sugya on Yud Amud Beis, and when it's quoted on Tes Amud Beis, has two different explanations as to what is intended when we say Moedah Rabbi Elazar Mizuyah Mitaycho. So on Yud Amud Beis, Rashi says, Dilma Ka'asi Lemimsereh Be'apayo Mismachalayot. What am I worried about for Mizuyah Mitaycho in this case? And we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon. We paskin in this case like the Tanakam who argues with Rabbi Shimon, who would be of the opinion that even Rabbi Elazar, maybe the reasons I gave, was happy. How do you ever know, right? But it would be of the opinion that you still have to be worried that you're going to, that it's a Mizuyah Mitoyko, there's a Mizuyah Mitoyko problem, even in the case of Shemus Mufakim. So what am I worried about? So Rashi says, I'm worried that maybe I'm going to use these witnesses, okay, who are not valid witnesses, and I'm going to use them as the Eidim Mesira. That's what Rashi says on Yudam and Beis. Rashi on Tesamud Beis, however, has a different explanation. Rashi on Tesamud Beis says, Gezerah, Dilma Asi, what am I worried about from Mizuyah Mitoyko if I have invalid witnesses? Dilma Asi, Lemismach Alayah, Velo Eide Nesira. Maybe I'm worried that you're going to rely on them without Eide Nesira altogether. So Rashi gives one explanation, maybe I'll use these Eidim for the Eidim Mesira. And the other explanation, well, maybe I'll rely upon these witnesses alone. So you can say that these two different dayas would fit well within the machlokes between the Rif and the Rosh. According to the Rif, that I can rely on Eidim Chasim alone, So maybe I'd be worried that if I had witnesses who signed who were invalid, what's the Mizir Mitaycho? That I might be worried that I would rely on the Eid Mechasima without having Eid Mechasima altogether. According to the Rashi says that no matter what, I always require Eid Mechasima. So what am I worried about Mizir Mitaycho if I have invalid witnesses? I'm worried that maybe I'll end up using these witnesses as the Eid Mechasima themselves. Now, it happens that there's a third beer in Mizir Mitaycho that is given by Rashi in Sanhedrin and Daf Chof Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chof Ches Amud Beis, talks about a shtar that was presented to Rabbi Yosef that had two witnesses signed on it who were brothers-in-law with each other and therefore were potential witnesses to each other. So they went in front of Rabbi Yosef. Yes, sir, I have a very simple solution. Rabbi Elazar Shita is Eidim Asir Akati, Bein Begitim, Bein Bishtaris. The whole discussion of the Gemara later on when we pass like Rabbi Elazar Bishtaris and only Begitim, we'll leave that for another time. So he said that in this case, he said, look, according to Rabbi Elazar, he was possibly like Rabbi Elazar. Don't worry about the fact that the Eid and Chasima were brothers-in-law to each other. Just give it over in front of Eid and Mesira. So Rabbi Yosef was confronted by his Talmidim, who said, how can you say such a thing? My name Rabbi Elazar, Mesira Mitaykh, Rabbi Elazar agrees with Mesira Mitaykh. So there Rashi says, what's the problem with Mesira Mitaykh? So there Rashi says, the problem with Mesira Mitaykh is that once I have the Shtar effectuated through the signing of the Eidei Chasima, so then, if those Eidim are invalid witnesses, then the Shtar becomes Chatz B'Biyam. Then the Shtar becomes absolutely worthless, and you no longer have a valid transactional document that can transfer property from one person to another person. Why there's the Shtar Chatz B'Biyam? So perhaps the answer is, based on the Tosfos and Dalanim and Aleph over here, says that that the Shita of Tosfos is that even though Rabbi Elazar requires, according to Tosfos, Dafke Eidei Mesira, and it does not rely on there being Eidei Chasima alone, nonetheless, when it comes to Shtaros, in the case of Shtaros, where we have a principle of Hodas Baal Din, Kameh Eidei Dami, then Eidei Chasima can be good enough as well, just like Hodas Baal Din, just like a Baal Din who admits that he owes is good enough, so to Eidei can be good enough as well. And therefore, when it comes to a Shtar, the Kuli Alma Rabbi Loza would agree that Eidei Chasima can effectuate a Shtar. If Eidei Chasima can actually effectuate a Shtar, and that they are the ones who are creating the Shtar without need of Eidei Mesira altogether, then it could follow that what happens when I have invalid witnesses signing the Shtar. If I have invalid witnesses signing the Shtar, and that those witnesses can completely and absolutely effectuate the Shtar, then that turns the Shtar into a worthless piece of dust. Because of the fact that since they have the power to make it into a valid Shtar, and they are completely invalid, so then at that point in time, since there's no need for Eidei Mesira altogether on the horizon, this would turn the Shtar into a nothing. So that would explain why in the context of a regular Shtar, Rashi says that the problem of Mizuyach Mitoycho is that it would be Chatz B'Biyama, it would be absolutely worthless. Now, the Rambam provides for perhaps the most nuanced approach with respect to this whole notion of Eidei Mesira Karti. On the one hand, the Rambam basically holds like the Rif. And that the Rambam says that according to the way that we pass them within Rabbi Elazar, so either Eidei Mesira can be good enough, or even if you have Eidei Chasima without Eidei Mesira, so that's good enough too, says the Rambam. The Rambam brings the dissenting view who argues with the Rif, but it's clear that he just brings it as a dissenting view. Fundamentally, the Rambam takes the position, like the Rif, that even if I have Eidei Chasima, it would be good enough. But like the Rif, the Rambam uses exactly the same lashon, that Ikar HaGerushin is effectuated through the Eidei Mesira. But according to the Rambam, this has halachah l'maisa ramifications. It's not mere semantics. You can't ask the question on the Rambam, why don't you say Av Eidei Mesira Karti according to the Rambam, because the Rambam actually provides for nafkaminas. The Rambam says, since Ikar HaGerushin is effectuated through the Eidei Mesira, therefore, for example, I have a halacha when it comes to most shtaros, where if a shtar that Edom are supposed to sign within two lines after a shtar is completed. Otherwise, I'm worried that a person is going to falsify language, they'll add language between the bottom line of the shtar and where the Edom sign. Therefore, the distance between the last line and where the Edom sign has to be less than two lines. Says the Rambam, however, is with respect to a get, if I have two lines distance between where the shtar ends and where the Edom sign, the get is still going to be valid. Why is that? Because the Rambam says that even though I have Edom Chasima, I didn't need to have Edom Chasima, and we hold Edom Mesira Karati, and therefore, since Edom Mesira Karati and Edom Chasima aren't so important, I'm not going to passel this get because of this psul. So that's the Beis Yosef. I think he could lament, asks the following question, says, wait a second. According to the Rambam agrees that a get which is signed shelo lishma is possible because of mizuyach mitayko. Why then does the Rambam say that when I have a separate psul in the chasimos, namely that it's two lines, the chasimos are a full two lines away from the end of the text of the get, why does the Rambam say that this is not considered to be mizuyach mitayko because this is a type of chasima which I would not allow with respect to other shtaros? The Rambam actually has a separate halacha parak test in which the Rambam goes further and says if somebody says to a bunch of people, I want you all to sign on the get, so the Rambam says, well, if the first two people are kosher, even if everybody else afterwards is possible, the get is still kosher. The Rambam doesn't even seem to explicitly require anything to see at all in such a case. I have mizuyach mitayko, not everybody who signed is kosher. So Rambam there says that because the ikka of the get is Edom Mesira, so therefore sounds like the Rambam is saying that Edom Chasima I never really have to worry too much as long as the fundamentals are met. So what distinguishes a case that we would define as Mizuyach Mitoyko from a case that we would not define as Mizuyach Mitoyko? So says the Beis Yosef that the distinction is as follows. According to the Rambam, if it's a psul which is very nicker, namely I can see with my own eyes that they signed two lines away from the get, so therefore I know that this is a problem and I'm not going to come to rely upon it. According to the Rambam, in such a case, I'll rely upon the Edom Mesira, or I'm not going to worry that I'm going to rely upon such a thing. According to the Rambam, the bigger problem is when it is something which is not nicker, where if I look at the signatures, I would not notice the problem. So according to the Rambam, that I might rely on the Edom Chasima alone. So therefore, that is going to be a bigger problem if I can't tell if there's a problem. What's a classic case where I'm looking at the signatures and I can't tell that it's a problem? Where it was signed shelo lishma. So I look at it, I can't tell shelo lishma. So that's why in such a case, the Rambam would say it's possible. So says Agoin, Rabbi Yosef in Achacham Agoin in Yibia Omer. The Shaila of Shulz Yibia Omer Chelik Beis Siman Yudalid. So Rabbi Yosef points out a very important halacha l'maisa distinction that we can derive from this Yisod of the Beis Yosef. He's talking about the following case, where one of the witnesses signed his name and signed the name wrong. His name was, Yosef, Chaim, and he signed it Yosef, for some reason. So in such a case, so he quotes one of the, I think it was the Steichem, I'm not 100% sure, who brings a solution to the problem that you have the aid erase the fey, and then make a mem sofit out of the last yud, keep the second to last yud. He's making Yosef into Chaim, so keep the second to last yud. Make it from the vav of Yosef, scratch off the bottom of the vav and make that into a yud, and then just put a ches in front of it so you'll get the Chaim. So after Rabbi Yosef, but you have a problem. In fact, some poskim say that this would be a psul of chok tochos, because there's a halacha in Gittin, we're going to say later on in the chos, that because of lo v'chokok, that the get has to be written and can't be chiseled out. So included within that it can't be chiseled out is that I can't make a small letter out of an existing big letter. So I can't chisel out a vav to erase part of it to turn it into a yud, because then I haven't written the yud. I've created the yud to to an erasure of another letter. So why would that be okay? So if he wants to be machadish, the chok toikos would be okay with respect to a get. So says the says Rav Avadya Yosef, well, this really depends. If I say that it's something which is not nicker, so then if I hold like the Rambam that even Eidi Chasima would be good, because the Pasuk like Rabbi Elazar and the Rambam holds that both Eidi Chasima and Eidi Chasima would be good, so then the Rambam would say that the less nicker the problem is, the more it should be puzzled, because then I might come to rely upon the Chasima alone, and therefore, if it's not nicker, the Avidafka should hold that that is not good, that that is a problem, so you have to be. But if I hold that Eide Mesira Karti means only Eide Mesira Karti, so then the more explicit the psul, the bigger the problem. Because what's the problem if I hold Eide, if I say Mesuyach Mitoiko, if I say Eide Mesira Karti, if the problem Mesuyach Mitoiko, if I say only Eide Mesira Karti, is not that I'm going to rely upon this alone, but that this is somehow creates an intrinsic problem within the get itself, the bigger the psul, the more in other instances I might rely upon this psul outside of this particular occasion. So therefore, the more nicker it is, the more a person might say, oh, so then I'm allowed to do this, I'm allowed to do chok tochos, whatever it is. So then it would be the more nicker it is, so then the bigger problem it is, and the less nicker it is, then the lesser problem it would be if I hold only Eide Mesira Karti. It appears from the halakhic literature that our assumption is, we paskin halakha l'maise like the Rosh, that only Eide and like Tosfos, that only Eide Mesira Karti, meaning that we pass like Rabbi Elazar, you could only rely on Eide Mesira. Even if there are Eide Chasima, we don't say the Eide Chasima serves the Eide Mesira, and we certainly don't say that the Eide Chasima can be relied upon alone. So we hold Eide Mesira Karti, according to this Chakira of Rabbi Yosef, it should follow that the more nicker a particular psul, the bigger within the Chasimos, so then the bigger the problem will be with respect to Mesuyach Mitoicho, and the less nicker something is, then the more room there is to be lenient with respect to Eide Chasima as a general principle. How this plays out, halacha l'maaseh, will be a totally separate discussion. There's more to say on the subject, but I've gone past my time, so I just want to wish you all a good evening, and it's a pleasure to spend time here with you, and see yourself. If he carves it out, it's a problem, but there's a better solution, which is that he could turn his rum into wheat. That's a problem, though. That would be a problem. If it was in the text of the get itself, it's a problem. If I take one letter and I chisel it out into another letter, I'm writing the letter, I'm creating the letter for a chisel.
So the other part, I'm going to put this and then it just turns off. I don't know why it's not working.